Huh? Yeah, I know. I can't get you going too long. I've never, well, I have, but it's been a long, long time, but been on the other end of like a Facebook Live when there's like a break like that. I wonder if people at home go get coffee or...
Mm-hmm. We do.
Do you? Yeah, okay.
We go use the bathroom.
All right, all right. Well, maybe it's all right to take that break then. Praise God. Well, let's jump into God's Word. I know that you'll be encouraged this morning, and I hope that you are at least. That is the intention, that we will be reminded of what we're here for, part of what God is doing in our country and in our life, in our community, and beyond, where we're able to be uplifted and be encouraged again, kind of motivated, if you would, just to be able to share the gospel. And so a title this morning, I don't know, that's my own creation there. The World Needs Jesus. Okay, and that would be the official title. The World Needs Jesus. And let's start with a prayer. Father, we are lifting you up. Father, we here as high as you can get, or so I don't know why we'd lift you up, but Father, we are exalting you. We're lifting our hands and our hearts and our minds. We're lifting our focus to you and saying, Father God, have your way. Just pour yourself out into our spirit in a way that we connect, that we understand, that we can relate to, and Father, that will change us then from the inside out. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for loving on us through that and giving us Jesus as a willing sacrifice for all of our sin, that we may be made right with you. Father, we are grateful for you and your plan. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're still doing in our lives. And I pray for that today, that we're encouraged in our spirit, Lord. We're encouraged and our minds and hearts are set to go forth and to share you with more and more people around us. Lord, we love you this morning. Praise you in the name of Jesus, we say. Amen. Amen. So if you look at the actual title or what I had written up there before the red mark, right, the world needs more Jesus. Okay, does that remind you of anything? Okay, if you're a Wyomingite, it might remind you. Back in a couple years ago, I think it was 2018, the University of Wyoming came out with a new marketing campaign, okay, to try to increase enrollment and, you know, just to be beneficial to the school as a whole. Well, many of you probably heard that slogan that they came up with, that is, the world needs more cowboys. Okay, and it stirred up things nationwide. It hit the national news and everything else because the world needs more cowboys. I'll explain more on that in a minute. Their own magazine, the University of Wyoming, had an article about it because it was kind of controversial and they felt like they needed to explain a little bit. So the university magazine said that in their article that the intention of it was to instill a deep sense of what it means to be a cowboy in this modern day and age. They said that they hoped that it was something that all who call themselves cowboys and cowgirls could identify with. Okay, something that included a sense of curiosity and a boldness to take on this world. Okay, to make breakthroughs both that would benefit both the state of Wyoming, but also that would benefit or impact the world. That's what they were hoping to get through that. And I'll tell you, for me personally, when I heard of the new campaign and I began to hear kind of what they were meaning behind it, and kind of growing up farm and ranching kind of guy and all this stuff, and knowing the Cowboy Code of Ethics, if anybody's familiar with that, okay, what they stand for, and you go to rodeos and things like that, and some of those guys, they're walking it. You know, they're walking in that integrity. So when I heard this campaign, and I saw it plastered in the newspapers, and, you know, it was all over social media, and it was on T-shirts, and everywhere you'd go, you'd see banners or posters or flyers or whatever, all over the state. I actually felt what they were trying to get across. I felt that. You know, it was something that I know from my marketing and background and doing things in small nonprofits and those kind of things, or even church stuff. I know that kind of a connection with people, that you feel what they're trying to get across, is one of the most important and powerful qualities of any marketing campaign. If you can't touch a heart, you can't touch their mind or their wallet. Okay, that was the old expression in the nonprofit world. Okay, and so the idea was you wanted to, if you're going to market something, get that point across. Because when you can feel a connection, okay, and feel a part of it, okay, then you're more likely to take action. You're more likely to get involved or to back it or promote it or to support that cause. We see a lot of this outspoken connection right now in our country. Okay, it's being displayed all over the country. Okay, because people are protesting and holding rallies to get back to work. Remember that just 2 or 3 weeks ago we were on that. Okay, and now there's even more recent stuff that is going on with people wanting to take their stand for, you know, regarding racial inequality or racial equality or police brutality or different things that are being brought up and stood up for. People are fighting for a cause. They feel what they're in there for, many of them. Not all. Some are just there for the fun and games or other purposes. But there are many that actually feel that call. They feel that cause. Okay. Well, today I'm hoping to stir up your passion for Jesus. Okay, to the point that you feel connected to that cause of Christ. Okay, that it's more than just being a good person. It's more than just going to heaven. It's more than just even going to church. It is about being a part of the cause of Christ. Because I believe that God came up with the most powerful and the most direct and yet unwritten slogan, campaign slogan in the history of the world. It is the most powerful one. And for me, it would be this right here. The world needs Jesus. Okay, now you can read your entire Bible and you'll probably never find those words in that order in the Bible. But is it not the most powerful and yet unwritten slogan that God had for the entire Christianity? The world needs Jesus. We have to have Jesus. Okay, the world needs Jesus. And the only way that the world is going to know about Jesus, the only way that the world's going to come to know Him personally and have that relationship, to experience salvation, eternal life, when we leave this planet, is through people like you and I. Okay, that's that connection that God has us and has done something in us so that we can then share that with others. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that sums this up pretty nicely. Romans 10, 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's that. The world needs Jesus. Right? It's all throughout the Bible, but you'll see it in words like that. Romans 10, 13, "The world, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, I pray to God that this church is not just a place where people get a little pick-me-up. Okay, that's great. But I pray that this is a school of discipleship. Okay, a place where people are purposefully brought in, taught, trained up, and then sent out to their circle of influence, okay, to have an impact. Okay, we're giving them the tools and the skills to take on this world, like the old cowboy slogan was, or to make breakthroughs that will benefit not only them personally, not only their family, but as they impact others, it will change the world around them. Okay, that's part of our slogan as a church, is to love and be loved by others, right? And the last part is to change your world. Okay, and that's exactly what that's talking about, is going forth to benefit the kingdom of God. You know, there's a very powerful chapter in the Bible when it comes to understanding the spreading of the gospel and kind of how it began and how it even works today. Okay, and how it spread throughout the world. And that's in Acts chapter 4. We'll get to it in a minute. The backdrop of the chapter, I kind of fill you in, it's when Peter and John are the two main guys in this chapter, and Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had spent time with Him while He was on the earth. Okay, they had seen Him crucified. Okay, watched their own Lord and Master, their teacher, their mentor, be crucified on a cross. But then they saw that He rose again from the dead, Peter being that first guy to see Him. Okay, then they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Okay, and they were filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit at that time. Okay, this is leading up to what they do. As they're on their way into the temple one day after all these things have happened, they come upon a 40-year-old man that had been crippled from his birth. And he was sitting at the gate or at the door of the temple asking people that came in for alms or for money. Okay, and Peter and John look at the man and they tell him to look on us. Okay, and then in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says that Peter then said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took him by the hand and they lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Okay, well, the man instantly leaps up and he goes into the temple with the disciples, praising and rejoicing God, thanking him for what he had just done. But all the people flock to Peter and John, and they're wondering, how could these things happen? Okay, Peter stands up and he presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at one point, he tells them this in Acts 3:19. He says simply, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, unfortunately, there were some religious folks in the midst called Sadducees, okay, that were grieved. They were greatly disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people about Jesus and preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So they had Peter and John arrested. Then we get to Acts chapter 4. Before they were arrested, right before they were arrested, the Bible tells us in Acts 4:4, says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. Something about what Peter said led thousands of people to Christ in a very short amount of time. That word of the Lord, the gospel of Christ, spread like a wildfire throughout the people. And thousands of people were coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Something about what he had said led thousands of people to feel connected to the cause of Christ. Okay, they grabbed onto it. They latched on and said, "This is for us." Well, the next morning, Peter and John are brought out in front of the religious rulers and the elders and the scribes to be questioned, to be interrogated for why they were doing or why what happened. What did they do and why would they do that? That's in Acts chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined, questioned about the good deed that was done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole,'" I love this line, "'be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has now become the head of the corner.'" In verse 12 he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Okay, there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's pretty narrow. That word "other" in the Greek is an interesting one. It is the word heteros, okay, in the Greek. It's where we get hetero, like heterosexual, okay, different, set apart. You have hetero, homo, there's a difference, right? And so that's where that word comes from. In the Greek, it literally means different, generic distinction, another kind, not of the same nature, form, or class. It denotes a distinction and an exclusivity with no second choices, no second opinions, and no other options. It means, Jesus, you are the one. You are the only one. There is no heteros. There is no other beside you. Okay? The University of Wyoming caught a lot of flack over their slogan. Okay, the world needs more cowboys, because people thought it was too narrow-minded. Okay, it was too opinionated. Who are you to tell me that the world needs more cowboys? People were offended. They said that it limited their opinions. Okay, it limited their options. It limited their choices. You're telling me there's only one choice, and that is that we need more cowboys. So people got upset because the university was saying that being a cowboy was the only way to be. And I guarantee you that when you're bold in sharing the one way, the one truth, and the life through Jesus, that you are going to take some heat for that too. People will think that you're too narrow-minded. People will think that you're too exclusive. Okay, that you're not allowing for their opinions. Okay, you're not allowing for them to have choices in life. You're not allowing for them to have other options to choose from. But that's okay. It's okay if they're offended at the name of Jesus. Just like a university student that might have to field questions about the cowboy campaign, that they could deflect that responsibility onto the university administrator, saying, I didn't make up the slogan. It's the university that made up the slogan. Well, you too can direct all responsibility, all any buck stops here kind of authority. You can point that narrow road to salvation to the Almighty God and say, it's not my plan, it's His. He's the one that came up with this. You take it up with Him. Okay? People can get upset about it, but in the end, they're going to meet the Maker. Okay? They're going to meet the Almighty God and have to take it up with Him, no matter what they think they can do here on earth. Okay? God doesn't give an option. God doesn't mind if we put that on Him. Okay? God doesn't mind if you say, you know what? Take that up with God. Okay? I had a gal one time many years ago, and we worked together I was working a part-time job in the evenings in a hardware store, and this gal I worked with, she always saw me carry my Bible, I'd read it, and I was kind of preachy at the time, and so I was always telling people about Jesus, and she got to questioning, what is this God you're talking about? What do you mean? How do you know that He hears you? How do you know that He's even real? And I said, here's the deal. I can show you 100 scriptures. I can go through the Bible with you. I can point you in a lot of different directions, and I'll do that if you want to do that. But here's what I asked her to do. I said, you go home, and you pray every day for 3 days in a row, God, reveal Yourself to me. Nothing else. Not some big, lengthy, hearty prayer. Just say, God, reveal Yourself to me. And she came back about 2 days later, 2 or 3 days later. We worked together again. She says, Gary, you would not believe what happened. Okay, and she started describing how all these miracle things had happened in her life, where her life was spared in a car accident and other stuff. And she said, I want to know more about this Jesus that you're telling me about. Okay, and we went to a Subway, and that night after work, it was like 10 o'clock at night, had a sandwich, I brought out my Bible, showed her Romans Road to Salvation, and she gave her life to Jesus right there. Started going to church, and she's a Christian believer to this day. Okay, so we have to be willing to share Christ and God, God's not ashamed of who He is. We can point people to God and say, take it up with Him. God is not bothered by that one bit. Okay? The plan of salvation was and is His. Okay? That is His plan for humankind. People can express their opinions all day long to God, to you, to whoever they want to. But the fact will still remain that it is God's plan, and that He cannot and will not change His mind. He will not change the covenant. He will not change the plan of salvation through Jesus simply because it's offensive to them. The Apostle Paul set a really good example for us. He boldly proclaimed, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That's the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. The world around you need to understand that they can have a differing opinion. Can't they? They can have a differing opinion. And they can express that opinion to you or to God or to whoever they want to, but it is still the way that it is. What God says goes. Okay, you've heard me say that before. God will not be persuaded to change the covenant because of someone's dissenting opinion. He will not change it. I don't care how mad they get at God, how bad they think he is, or what kind of bad publicity he gets, he's still God, it's still his plan, and he gets to say what goes. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay, the world needs Jesus. That's his plan. And the call to take the gospel to the nations is founded in a basic assumption that all of humankind without Christ is lost. Whether you're speaking of the entire human race or you're speaking of one single person, without Jesus Christ, they are lost. Without Jesus, they are destined for eternal separation from God in hell. Now, the last verse that we read here, in verse 12, said that there is no other name, right? Meaning that there is no other authority. There is no other personality. There is no other system or no other philosophy that can effectively rescue the human soul. None. There is not one that will work apart from Jesus. There's other possibilities for proposed human hope. Okay, we can put our hope in something. You can go hug a tree and put your hope in it all day long. But the tree's not going to save you. Not that we have anything against trees. Don't take me wrong. But anything other than a personal trust in Jesus and believing in God's word and God's plan of salvation, nothing else can supersede God's plan. Okay, the world needs Jesus. That's the end story. Okay, now, many of you may not have a master's degree in theology. Okay, you may not have even a biblical certificate of biblical studies or something from some fancy seminary. Okay, but you can still be very, very effective in sharing the gospel. It comes through a Christ-centered boldness in your words and in your deeds. Peter and John demonstrated it in two different ways, both in what they did. They were going to the church to pray. Okay, their actions were saying that we believe. And then they spoke the words that said, I don't have what it takes, but I know who does. And they shared that with this man. Peter and John were not Bible scholars, okay? But they knew what they had personally seen, and they knew what they had personally experienced through Christ, and they were simply bold enough to tell people about those experiences. I've said before, we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb is what Jesus did. We can't do that. Our testimony is telling people what Jesus did for us. That's as simple as it is. It's still about Him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, going on with this, the next verse says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they simply took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They were simply telling personal experiences about Jesus. Boldness is the key. Okay, boldness, if you look it up, it means outspokenness, unreserved utterance, freedom of speech, frankness, candor, and cheerful courage. And it is the opposite of cowardice, the opposite of timidity, and the opposite of fear. That is boldness. It denotes a divine enablement. Okay, that's where this boldness comes from, through which the spiritual power and authority are exhibited in the lives of ordinary people who have not been professionally trained in spiritual matters. See, in the lives of Peter and John, they were bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it stirred up the unbelievers. They were detained. They were arrested. They were interrogated. And then they were threatened in hopes that they would not spread the gospel message any further. See, it didn't line up with the never Jesusers' agenda. Okay, what they were saying did not line up. It was not going to work for them. It was not going to help them be all powerful and have more people under them and all the things that they were looking for. Okay, it was not going to work for them. Their plans and their way of thinking were being refuted. So they sought to scare them using fear tactics, threatening them to scare them into not teaching anyone else about Jesus. That's happening right now in our country. But Peter and John knew the unwritten motto of God. The world needs Jesus. So their response to the fear tactics was this in Acts 4:18. It says, "And they called them, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Nobody can take your testimony away from you. Nobody can take your personal relationship with Jesus away and say, no, that's not the way it is for you. Okay, it is real to you. There's no way they can take that away. It is real. The Jesus haters feared the masses of people that were believing on Jesus because of the lame man that was now walking. So they ended up having to let Peter and John go because they were afraid of what the people, the masses that were coming to Christ, they were afraid of what they would do, so they let them go. Peter and John go back to their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they tell them all that was happening and all that happened. And rather than getting scared, okay, rather than determining that they should all go into hiding and keep quiet about Jesus, they prayed for even more boldness. Lord, let us be even more bold, because now we're seeing that it's having an effect. In Acts 4:29, it says, "And now, Lord," this is what they get back to the group, and this is what the group says. They say, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. See, they were not afraid of what would happen if they spoke out about Jesus. They felt the necessity of the cause of Christ, and they would not be quiet. Many of these men and women would eventually give their lives for the name of Jesus. I wonder sometimes about the body of Christ today, how many that have said that they have laid their life down for Christ would actually do that when the time comes. Worldwide, they're saying right now, about 11 Christians killed every day because of their decision to follow Jesus. Every day, 11 people killed for their faith in Jesus. Around the world, the statistics are showing that there's about 260 million Christians in 50 different countries that are currently facing physical harm from persecution. And that number increased by 10% from last year to this year. We're not even to that point yet in our country. Very, very few people in our country, in the United States, are physically having to die for Jesus. And yet many believers are still shy about their faith, not wanting to offend anyone or suffer any kind of persecution. You know, that day is fast approaching when the preaching of the gospel is not just going to be offensive, but it's going to be a punishable offense. Until then, you can let your faith be stirred up. Okay, until then, you can rise up and share your life's testimony. And even then, you can rise up and share your life's testimony. You can encourage others to join you in your cause. Okay, the very practical, I try to give something practical. The practical suggestion for this day, if you want something to take home that you can kind of do or work on, it is simply this. Resist the fear of persecution. Be bold and pray for more boldness. Now is the time to be outspoken for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to freedom from bondage of sin or bondage of addiction or bondage of depression or anxiety or whatever it is. You fill in the blank. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. So I pray that the Word of God stirs you up. Let it stir you to action. To feel the passion of the mission for Jesus. To spread the message of the gospel throughout your circle of influence. Because the world needs Jesus. There is no other way. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. Father, I know that many of us most often here have believed on your Son, Jesus. Lord, we have made that commitment to Christ and say that we know that you are the Son of God, that you were raised from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord, that you have washed us clean. We believe on you. But Father, there are many in our midst, many in our families, in our communities, our workplaces, our county, our state, and our world that we live in, Lord, that do not yet know you. That, Father, I pray for that boldness, that each one of us stands a little bit taller in faith towards Jesus. That we're willing to say what it is, where our hope comes from. We're willing to testify of what you are capable of doing and what you have done in our own personal lives, Lord. I pray that you encourage us, strengthen us, and show us more of what we can say and how to say it, Lord. Help us to live that life that exemplifies Christ and points people to you. Help us to speak the words that are uplifting and edifying and that point people again to Jesus. And Lord, let us invite people in to gather the children of God together to grow in faith and strengthen one another that we may go out and continue spreading the gospel of your Son Jesus. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for your almightiness. We thank you for having a plan, for being who you are, and for making us who we are, Father. We love you, and we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.